If you're like me, while we're going to finish strong, I've already decided I'm not going to let this stop, quit, or die. Because while I've got some stuff that's going on I can't tell you about, it's because it's not ready yet, but it's hatching. It's, you know what I'm saying? I can tell you that these weeks have been tremendous for me. Have they been good for you? Because I trust God more now than I think I ever have before. And I'm counting on Him, depending on Him, relying on Him. And He is working in us, working through us, working around us like we've never seen before. And really, I can sense it on the inside of me. He's like, He's been getting me ready for something that's right out here in the future, right here in front of us. And that's really, for all of us, is the same way. God's got great things for every one of us right out here in front of us. And we've seen some of it. People have already told some testimonies. I can tell you this, that in my personal life, I mean, there are things that have just dramatically changed for me in the last however many weeks we've been doing this. And, there's certain areas of my life that I wasn't even really, it wasn't the thing I wrote on the giant. But when I put trust on the rock and I started trusting in God, I didn't see him up there because he's so little. But when I wrote trust on the rock, I trust God for one thing, but then as my trust started building, God began taking care of other things and working on other stuff. Isn't that good? Well, I also want to announce tonight that in the Perfect Attendance Awards that Team 8, we are the ones who got the near perfect attendance. Wait. No, we didn't have that award. I made that up. Pastor Susie's shaking her head no. But we have attended well. Everybody has attended well. It's been great. But tonight we're going to finish strong, and Pastor Nate, he's got the final duty for us. But before I do that, I'm going to pray. Okay. I'm going to pray, y'all, so you can bow your head and look around. It don't matter to me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these TCIs. We thank you for your word. We just thank you for what you've done in us and through us these past few weeks. But we are looking to you for more. As we trust you more, as we lean on you more, as we look to you more, we're looking to finish strong in these things we wrote on the giant, which is now shrunk. But the things we wrote up there, we're looking for every one of those things to be done, completed, and finished. And get that behind us, because we see in front of us there is greater things that you're going to use us for. Things that we're going to do and you're going to do in us and through us and around us to accomplish great things for the kingdom. It's here, it's time, and we're in the position now to be able to do it. And we just thank you. We thank you for doing these things in us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right. Hey, we're going to end with the beginning. End at the beginning. It's interesting. I had the opportunity to speak at a graduation ceremony yesterday, and they call them commencement ceremonies. It's not the end. It's the beginning of something. And so tonight, it's not the end of the trust challenge per se. It's the beginning of a new trust challenge in your life. It's the commencement of something new that God wants to do in and through you. And so with that being said, I want to come full circle to 1 Timothy 6, our theme passage. And let's read that and let's learn a few more things. See if we can just squeeze out a few more truths from this scripture. Wring it till it's completely dry. And we're completely sopping wet with truth from God's word. All right. 1 Timothy 6, in the message, it says this. Tell those rich in this world's wealth. Everybody say, that's me. To quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage. To do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. Everybody say, extravagantly generous. Extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last gaining life that is truly life. All right, so we've been looking at this scripture for a couple of months now, and we've had teaching on it from the very beginning of the start of this trust challenge. But I want to focus really on this last part as we end with the beginning. I want to talk about extravagant generosity tonight. Now, the misconception that we have in this culture, in America, in the greater part of the world, is that if we are wealthy, we can be extravagantly generous. Like when we get bukus and bukus of money, that's when we can give extravagantly, right? We have this idea of if I ever hit the lottery, or if I ever get the $1 million or $2 million or $1 billion inheritance, you want a rich uncle like that, right? If I ever fall in and get this windfall of cash, then I can be extravagantly generous. Then I can give like I really want to give, right? Well, that's a misconception. And it's reminded me of this Bare Naked Ladies song. I know that none of you listen to the Bare Naked Ladies. But this song called If I Had $1 Million. Anybody heard that song? If I had $1 Million, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a house. If I had $1 Million, I'd buy you furniture for your house, right? I'd buy you a car. I'd buy you reliable transportation. I'd buy you a tree fort, the song says. I'd buy you some fancy artwork like Picasso. I'd buy you a fur coat, but not a real fur coat. That's cruel, right? A green dress, but not a real green dress. That's also cruel. I'd buy you a monkey, et cetera, et cetera. The song is very ridiculous. But the thing is, the writer of this song says, if I had $1 million, I would buy you these things. Well, you don't have to wait until you have $1 million to be extravagantly generous. Let's go back to the beginning of this thing. We started off on a Sunday morning. I talked to you about this first part of this passage where it says, tell those rich in this world's wealth. And I started off saying like this, I know none of you are rich, but if you were, I know none of you are rich, but if you were, this is what we were commanding you to do, or Paul commanded his protege Timothy to command those of us who are rich to do, right? And you think, well, that's for the rich people, that's for the wealthy people, that's for the millionaires, the billionaires, that's for the Bill Gates and Steve Jobs of this world. That's for those types of people. But we talked about this. We said if you make $40,000 a year, you're in the top 4% of wage earners in the world, right? We said this, if you earn $48,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. So if you say, well, I don't have $1 million, well, you may not have $1 million. But if you are in any of those categories and you work 25 years, you'll have $1 million. You and I are wealthy. In our lifetime, there's not a lot of people in this world that could say in their lifetime they earn $1 million. Right? So everybody say this, I'm a millionaire.
I'm a millionaire.
Some of you in here, you've worked 25 years plus. You've already had $1 million flow through your hands if you're in that category. Imagine that. Say it again, I'm a millionaire.
I'm a millionaire.
Some of you are speaking by faith and you're going to write this on your mirror and say it every single day until you feel like a millionaire. The problem is we don't feel rich, right? We don't feel wealthy, so we don't act wealthy. So we think, well, if we are wealthy, we can be extravagantly generous. Well, I'm telling you today, you're wealthy. You're a millionaire. Some of you are multimillionaires. You make a little bit more than this. You and I are wealthy. So Paul commands Timothy to command those who are wealthy, you and I, to do a few things. His first command is this, quit being so full of yourself and so obsessed with money. Basically, this first command is not necessarily a command at all, but more like a diagnosis. It's more like you're stingy and selfish. Here's the diagnosis of your present condition, this heart condition that you have. You're stingy and you're selfish. Quit doing that. Quit being so full of yourself. Quit being so obsessed with money. And so I hope that during these TCIs, these past few months, that we've uprooted some deep things from your past about money. We talked last week about your financial condition, those mindsets that you had about finances that were passed on to you from your parents and from generations before you. And I hope you've been honest with yourself. Hope you've been honest with your spouse about your obsession or lack of obsession with money. Some of you are like, well, I don't care about money, but here's the truth. I mean, we work the majority of our waking hours to earn the almighty dollar, right? We spend the majority of our time working to earn money. So we as a culture, we as a generation, it'd be easy for us to be obsessed with it, right? It'd be easy for us to be obsessed with money. So here's the deal, though. This condition, no matter how generous you may have been in the past, no matter how much of your stuff you've given away, how much money you've given away, this heart condition, this diagnosis of being selfish and stingy, this greed monster can still rear its ugly head and attempt to ensnare us in this trap of money obsession. A number of years ago, God dealt with me about giving something pretty significant away. It was a vehicle I had earned and bought and paid for with my own money. And God dealt with me about giving this truck away for months and months. And I'd like to say, man, I was super spiritual. And the moment he said, give it away, I said, yes, Lord, I'll do that. I trust you with all my heart, and I don't lean on my own understanding. But the truth was, I was leaning on my own understanding. I was leaning pretty hard on my own understanding because I was like, God, I do not understand what you're telling me to do, because if I give this away, then what am I going to do? How am I going to get around? Where is my transportation? And besides, I worked hard for this. This is mine. I paid for it with my own money. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And that four-letter word, mine, that we hear a lot of times from our kids is one of those elementary forms of greed. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And greed is a terrible thing, and that's the diagnosis for those who are rich in this world's wealth, because we can be obsessed with money, we can be obsessed with stuff, and so when it comes to God saying, hey, give your stuff away, you can begin to wrestle with this thing. And so I wrestled with this command from God, this suggestion from God saying, hey, give this away, and I wrestled with it for months, and until finally I talked to my wife about it, and she convinced me that it was God. It wasn't the devil. And she said, we need to be those people. I said, what people? We need to be givers, she said. I said, well, I am a giver. I give 10%. No, we need to be extravagant. We need to be extravagant. And so here's the other side of extravagant generosity. And so I relented. I gave the truck away. And thank God I did. But it was a lesson in obedience for me. It was a lesson in faith for me. I learned more through that process than I did in the moment of actually obeying. I learned more through the process of giving that away and then learning to trust God through that than I ever did in the moment. One thing I learned is this, is extravagant generosity often requires sacrifice. And many of us aren't willing to sacrifice. Like, we live in this culture where we want it our way. We want it right now, right? Media has saturated our minds. Like, we have to have things right now. We talked about that in our patient session. But we can really be tempted to hold on to what we have because we're not willing to make a sacrifice. We think, gosh, I'm going to have to do without. Gosh, I'm going to have to ride a bicycle. And if I can't ride a bicycle, I have to walk because I have to have shoes. And if God tells me to give my shoes away, well, I'll walk barefooted. You know what I'm saying? Sacrifice. Sometimes extravagant generosity requires sacrifice. And a lot of times we're not willing to make that sacrifice. You know, we don't talk a lot about sacrificial giving here at the church because we believe it's an offering. It really is. And it is an offering. It's an offering of your obedience. And so I'm not going to say, amen, give till it hurts. You know, we don't talk about that around here. But a lot of times, if we will be honest with ourselves, sometimes giving does hurt. Doesn't it? Doesn't it require a little sting every now and then? I know we talk about don't give when it stings, because that's giving stingily and that kind of stuff. But sometimes it stings a little bit when you give. And you know, when you do give beyond and you press through the pain, there's great reward on the other side. There really is. There's a greater reward than you will ever see coming with your natural eyes. But sometimes it requires that sacrifice. Now, this command, number two, that he says, so quit being obsessed with money. That's the diagnosis. Don't be so selfish. Don't be so stingy. Greed is the ultimate monster here. We gotta root that out. And so he says, here's the cure. Go after God. Go after God. Trust him. And we talked about that again. Trust God versus uncertain riches. Trust him. Go after God. The scripture says, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because the pagans, man, they were going after the things of this world. And Jesus said, hey, man, go after God. And those things that they're seeking, yeah, you'll get that. But you're going to get far more than just that. Trust him. You know, generosity really, it isn't a matter of, always a matter of waiting until you're in this giving mood and the mood strikes you and you just go wild with generosity. It can certainly include those moments of inspiration. But first and foremost, giving is a pattern. Talk about seeking first his kingdom. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth with some instructions for giving when he was taking a collection for the believers in Jerusalem. And we talked about first things first a few weeks ago. But generosity is really a pattern. Begins with a pattern that you set in your life. 1 Corinthians 16:2, he writes this in the message. It says, every Sunday, each of you make an offering and put it in safe keeping. Be as generous as you can. When I get there, you'll have it ready and I won't have to make a special appeal. So generosity is more than just this occasional attitude, or it's more than just a feel-good response to a pressing need. It's really about a regular, begins with this regular spiritual habit that we form that protects our hearts from greed. Give in the same rhythm that you receive, not to fulfill a legalistic schedule, but to establish this regular and systematic habit in your life. And many of us have established that habit. And like I said, when God asked me to give away my truck, I immediately said, hey, haven't I given enough? I've given enough, man. I've given the tithe. I've given over and above the tithe. I've given offering. I've given in special. I've even given to Jeremy Gall Ministries. God, haven't I given enough? I am making the way for miracles to happen all over the freaking world. Me and God talk in the vernacular sometimes. So. No these and thous here. Everyday language, right? So we can get in this habit. We think, well, I've given enough. But that's just the beginning, this establishing this regular systematic habit. If you've established this habit, then you're ready to go that extra step when he asks you to. But sometimes you're not willing to do, like I said, the sacrifice. Sometimes you're not sure that you're hearing from God yourself. But the thing I've learned about extravagant generosity, one thing is that when you give, it does more for you than the person that you give to or organization, whatever it is that you may choose or that God may direct you to do. It does so much more for you than it does. And you think you're sacrificing, you think you're giving up, but you're gaining more than you'll ever give up. All right, so three aspects of this cure. Go after God, he says. Don't be obsessed with money. It's here today and gone tomorrow anyway. Go after God. That's the cure. Three things. Do good. And in Acts 10:38, I love this. We kind of overlook this first part of it. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good. And we like to skip over to the healing all who are under the power of the devil because we're like, man, let's get to the power. Let's get to the healing power. Let's get to the miraculous power. And we are all about that. I'm not neglecting that. But sometimes we skip over the doing good part. And we have to realize that as much as Jesus was anointed with miraculous power to heal, he was anointed with miraculous power to do good. Jesus was a do-gooder. And you and I should be as well. To do good. To do good. Command number four. That second aspect of going after God. Be rich in helping others. And these can kind of all clump together. This doing good, be rich in helping others, and this third one we'll talk about in a second. They can all kind of clump together, but if we'll study them out a little bit, we'll realize that they're one and the same, but they're also separate. It's kind of like the trinity of going after God here. 2 Corinthians 8, let's read this passage. verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They're being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But," I love the but "they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more." That sounds pretty extravagant to me. How about you? "And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, go after God, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving." He talks about the church in the churches in Macedonia and how they were rich in helping others. They saw this pressing need, and then even out of their own need, they sacrificed. Even out of their own need, they gave not only what they could afford, but beyond what they could afford. I love this. We see example after example in Scripture of extravagant generosity, and it's modeled for us in the early church. It's modeled for us in the churches that came after, in this Macedonian church here. And Paul, talking to the church at Corinth, he's giving them an example, saying, "Hey, check out what this church in Macedonia, these churches in Macedonia did. And I want to encourage you to do the same." So do good, be rich in helping others, and then finally, be extravagantly generous. All right? That word extravagant, I looked it up, and one of the definitions says exceeding the bounds of reason. Exceeding the bounds of reason. So there's giving what's reasonable. All right? So if we can put it in these terms, what's reasonable to give to the church? 10%, right? We talk about the tithe. Well, that's reasonable. That's reasonable. Extravagant, or like think about like a 15% tip. That's reasonable. Exceeding the bounds of reason is extravagant. And this extravagant generosity. So it's giving over. It's unreasonable giving when reason tells you you should not be giving this away. And you give anyway, that's extravagant generosity. When reason says, if you give this away, you will have nothing left. That's extravagant generosity because it's exceeding the bounds of reason. And God does not work in the realm of reason. He works in the realm of the Spirit. You can't reason with your mind what God is telling you to give. You can't think in your mind, okay, the checkbook says this, blah, blah, blah. And now there's wisdom. I'm not saying give beyond what you have. If you don't have it, you can't give it. I'm not saying swipe your credit card and, you know, pay that way. What I'm saying is God deals with us spirit to spirit. And so when he tells us to give extravagantly, oftentimes it's going to exceed the bounds of reason. So there's three levels of giving that we talk about. There's the tithe. There's the offering that's over and above the tithe. And then there's this extravagant generosity. So let's talk about the reward. You like to think about, well, what's in it for me? And I'm glad you asked, because there is something wonderful in it for you and I. He says, by doing this, you will build a treasury that lasts. A treasury that lasts. And he's not talking about money. Why would he be talking about money when he said, don't be obsessed with money? Because money's here today and gone tomorrow. Is money really a treasury that lasts? Money, guess what, guys? It's going to burn up when we leave. Can't take it with you. The scripture said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and moth destroy, right? What is this treasury that will last? And he says, gain life that is truly life. There are things in this world that are far more important than money. There are things in this world that are far more vital and more precious than money. So the other end of this story, me giving my truck away, walking it out through faith and patience, and you've heard me tell about the miracle mobile that I drive today. Well, that miracle mobile came from my sister-in-law, Stacy. And Stacy and Bobby, they live in Colorado, and they were just being obedient to what God told them to do. I mean, they still owed on this vehicle that they gave me. They gave it away before they had even paid it off. They paid the insurance on it. They paid to ship it out here. I mean, it was just what I received in that was so much more than I had given. And God's just good like that. So they were being obedient to what God had asked them to do. What they were believing God for was something far more than just monetary supply or provision. You see, Bobby and Stacy hadn't been married for too long. And they wanted kids. But here's the deal. Bobby had a vasectomy. You guys know what that is, right? Like the, get your little snip snip, right? Some of you are cringing as we speak. Some of you may have had that procedure done on yourself. Well, once you've had that procedure, you know that it is physically impossible for the male to provide the seed to have a child. So, in the realm of impossibilities, this is way up there. All right? So, they sow this seed, and they're believing God for whatever is going to happen. Whether he provides money to reverse the surgery, whether, I mean, they haven't limited him to the way that they want it the most, right? Well, we get an email or a phone call not too long after they had given us the vehicle to find out that they were pregnant. Supernaturally, miraculously pregnant. And now Brody is like two years old? Brody is two. Beautiful little boy. Miraculous birth. I mean, not as miraculous as the virgin birth, but it's still pretty doggone miraculous. And those of you who have kids, man, you know that's far more important than money. Because you give all your money for them. Right? I mean, seriously. Kids are precious. I mean, and talk about life. That's truly life. There's stuff that matters so much more than just the dollar bill. How often do we forget that? How often do we think, man, I just got to working hard to earn a dollar, 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 dollar. You know what I'm saying? But what is truly vital? I've seen that on a board somewhere around here. What is truly vital? When the vital signs of our lives are read, what do they say? Boom, boom. Faith. Boom, boom. Family. Boom, boom. Sharing the love of God. Boom, boom. Evangelism. Boom, boom. Making disciples. Boom, boom. Giving life. That's life. That's truly life. And you know what? The reward is you're going to gain life. That's truly life. And guess what? All that other stuff that the Gentiles seek, you'll get that too. But you know what? It won't matter as much. Because you know what? As you increase in your giving, you'll see that increase in your getting. But because God blesses the generous. But why? Because those who are blessed by God become blessers for God. And it's this endless cycle of giving and receiving, because monetarily it works the same way. We're connected to God. He flows money through us and to others. When we give extravagantly, we're rewarded extravagantly. I want to share with you a poem I wrote not too long ago. I think I've shared this with you before, but I found it and I thought, man, this is really good. It fits in with tonight. The author of this is pretty spectacular. Okay. Not in himself, but in the Lord who's in him. It's called The Way Out. Our money says in God we trust. But our actions say we trust in us. We fail to give what's rightfully his, and we wonder, where's God in our financial crisis? The bills and odds stack so high we can't see. The way to escape from our mediocrity is generosity, not hypocrisy. We've been pretending far too long, acting contrary to where we belong, clenching and clinging with fist held tight, holding our money with all of our might. When the answer is not too hard to understand, that freedom comes with an open hand. When we open our hand, we open our heart That's the moment when things start to change and rearrange, and we exchange our emptiness for His extravagance, our lack for His lavishness, our poverty for His plenty, and our account is no longer empty. It's a dime for every dollar too much to ask when He's given us much more than we could ever grasp. Sure, it feels like a heavy sacrifice, especially when you're scraping just to get by, scrounging together every penny you can find just to pay the bills that are so far behind. When the debt's too much to swallow and the truth's too much to follow, your life just seems too hollow, and all you do is wallow in the stench of your doubt. When will we realize Christ has already given us the way out? He said it's better to give than to receive, but is that what we really believe? Our perspective's been narrow, wrapped in self-indulgence. It's time to turn our eye to a higher importance. Building God's kingdom through dispensing our treasure. Pointing others to the one without measure. And without measure, He pours out abundance and more. An astonishing spread of blessings galore. His grace overwhelming, His provision compelling, His purpose excelling, and His mission is telling all those without hope that there's a brighter day. Because Christ is the truth, the life, and the way. Amen. Pastor. Snaps. Thank you.
Praise God. That was a good message to close this off, and one of the best things that, best ways we can respond to this tonight is to do some extravagant giving. And, you know, I came up under Oral Roberts' ministry. It's one of the first books that I read was The Miracle of Seed Faith. And many times early on, now it's easy to do when you're single and you're out there, but many times I've given everything. And I mean everything. And when I went to ORU, all I had left was a duffel bag of stuff. And I've been on the edge. I've been out there. Even while I've been pastoring here, I've been on the edge with things. And I'm not bragging, but I just want to let you know, the last 5-6 years, Susie and I, we've been the top givers in the church. And I wish it wasn't so. That's just the way it is for right now. And I was just thinking about that and just pushed it and pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And but then I was just sitting here thinking tonight about what God has done in our lives, so many different things. I was just thinking about scholarships that our 4 kids have received. It's over $300,000, really close to $400,000, Maddie, Sue, Molly, Harry, and Grayson. And I don't, you know, that is over and above. Because one of the things I value is education. Education for my kids. And we've always lived, you know, not in a bad way, but always lived beyond our income. I don't have any regrets about the giving that I've done over the years. No regrets. The main financial regret I have is debt. Made some stupid decisions with debt, and some still kind of believing my way out of those situations. But I don't regret anything with the giving, even giving at all. And God has always, always, always come through. So tonight, we are officially starting our un-stewardship campaign. And it's called Raise the Roof. And we are believing for over $50,000 to get our roof repaired. And you've seen the buckets in the hallways. And the reason why we decided to start during this trust challenge is I really believe it's God's leading. I don't think it's not something we intended to do before we started the trust challenge, but the multiplication team, I think, just got emboldened as we went along here. And talking about preparing for these messages and getting ready for things, our faith has risen. And we were kind of thinking, you know, if you had a leaky roof in your house, would it be like a top priority? Would you wait years to do something with it? A family would act upon that. I mean, other things can wait, but a leaky roof and water coming in, that's not a good situation. And I just realized that I had let myself just put up with that. And the Lord kind of dealt with me, and he said, you know, this is not right. This is not good for us, and the statement that it makes, and then it makes him look like he can't provide. And so our faith being bold, we just said, hey, okay, we're going to step out, and we're going to announce it tonight. And what better group than those that have been involved in this trust challenge? And it's time to raise the roof and put a new one on there. And like the families involved in the trust challenge, it's time for a change. It's time for all of us for a change. It's time for us to move forward together, to leap forward. And I think that we're prepared for that. So I want to give you the plan. Can I have my board? And the reason why I call it the Unstewardship Campaign, because we're not going to receive any pledges. I don't even know if we even mention it again. We're just going to put this board up, this fancy board here. We've got a tremendous marketing department here. And we'll put this up in the comments. And what we have here, Eddie, come here. Hold this. So smile now. Show it all around. Okay. What we have here is there are 16 squares in this big box. In each of these little squares, so this big box is a total of $400. Each little square is $25. And as we fill in each 25, that's a lot of squares, but that's it's roughly around $400 per family. We have about 140 families here at Good News Church. Didn't know that, did you? And if you want to, you can put your initials on here. I've got mine already on here. I gave on Wednesday. I saw it in the comments, and I put my dollars in there. But you don't have to put your initials on there, only if you want. But if you do, exit off. You exit off. And if you want to take a square for your family, I'm putting my name on there because I want to set the example. I want to motivate others toward extravagant giving. But I'm believing, and I'm declaring tonight, $50,000 over and above our normal tithes and offerings. And I'm declaring tonight it'll be the easiest thing we've ever done. If it comes in at one time, but I just know it's already done. And giving you guys an opportunity if you want to participate in this. So this will be in the comments. It may or may not be mentioned again. It's the Unstewardship Campaign. And we're going to see this in the atrium. What am I saying? Comments? Yeah, atrium. Thank you. I was just testing you to see if you were listening. Thanks, Eddie. You can put that down. And we're going to pay cash. No debt. Pay that thing off. Tonight's the night. I want to give you an opportunity to pray about it if you want to. Give tonight, and there's no pressure to do that. You just follow the Holy Spirit. Pray tonight, but continue to pray. And it's just like today that we were talking about our share. And I don't know what your share is. We're just going to pray about it. Everybody's going to do their part. If we all do our part, it'll be over and above. But I want to tell you this. I would love tonight to have a project like this. How about we're going to fund some church in another nation? We need $100,000. Wouldn't that be more exciting than to do a roof? But we got to take some steps here and do something like this. But I think this church here is going to be prepared to do some extravagant giving, some amazing things in years to come that we would only have dreamed about doing years ago. This is the beginning. This trust challenge is the beginning of some new places and places that God wants to take us. Every one of us, we're all at different places, different levels. And it's going to be exciting. Talk about joy. Talk about celebration. Talk about lives being changed. Talk about our families being impacted. And that's going to happen. If you need an envelope tonight for cash giving or for debit card, raise your hand. You just pray about it. Let me go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we just give you praise for this trust challenge. I declare that the people of Good News Church, we're moving forward. we're moving forward together. This church is moving forward. And Father, I thank you that for boldness. I thank you for our faith rising. It's time for us to step out and do some things we haven't done before. We're going somewhere. And where we're going, it's all about your kingdom and expanding your kingdom. So we declare tonight, we come into agreement, that roof is raised. We claim $50,000 over and above tithes and offerings. We call it paid off in the name of Jesus, and not to borrow a penny for it. And the way you do it will be a testimony to Father, to your provision and to the way you do things. And it'll be easy. Everybody say easy.
Easy.
So we thank you for it. We give you praise. I know there's folks giving tonight, Father, stepping out, doing something over and above. Lord, I thank you for an extravagant return so that the people here can do even greater things for the kingdom of God. I know already, Father, that you've got a greater vision, greater mission, greater plans, greater purpose for the people here tonight. And Father, that the return on their giving is going to be bigger than some dollars coming in. It'll be changes in their family. It'll be dreams coming true. It'll be going places that they've desired to go in you. And so we thank you for it. We receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen.